The following is a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about them Cowboys?
Yeah! Go Cowboys!
Blowing out of the backfield, exploding down the sideline.
This is Hanging with the Boys, presented by Wingstop, where flavor gets its wings. Now, your hosts, Nate Newton, Kurt Daniels, Jesse Holly, and Shannon Gross.
Hump day at 10 o'clock Central Time. That can only mean one thing. It is time for the weather. You're looking live at Tostitos Championship Plaza outside Ford Center at the Star in Frisco, where it is a brisk 55 degrees. The high today is 68. The low is 46. And Kurt?
He's Shannon. He's Nate. We got Chris in the back. Jesse, we're not sure.
MIA today.
Is he TPing or is he, what is he doing?
Oh, no. I'm Kurt, trying to fill in for our Zaddy Master over there. I'm going to try to remember. Together, we are the sports equivalent of Braille. People feel like
beating on nothing until we win a game.
What a shaky start to the show. We do this once a week.
Once a week.
We get
losing our habits.
And Anyway, brought to each and every week by Wingstop.
Well, I guess Cooks ain't going to be catching nothing for
Wings. How you doing, Nate? You look good today.
Man, I feel great. Man, I feel fabulous. I was late. I want to apologize for that. I'm thinking you guys are rolling. I walk up here and my other black friend is not here.
You came in with energy and you're color coordinated. For those of you that aren't watching, Nate has a Larry Allen t-shirt on.
I'm too old.
He's got jorts on with his shirt tucked in and a belt. And then he's got equipment. Cowboys equipment issued socks white on the bottom, navy on the top.
There you go.
And
I can't see that.
Black shoes. Man, you can pull something. You better stop. You can be out of commission.
I ain't as young as I used to be, man.
But you look good, man.
Thank you. Y'all look great too, man.
How was y'all's weekend?
Where'd you watch the game? In Eagle Pass, Texas, man, at a casino.
Yeah. How about that?
Wow. Yeah, man. I was up in there, man, and signing autographs, and they paid for it.
Let's go.
I felt like Jesse.
Highly,
baby.
You know what? All because of that star. That star right there.
In those rings.
Star. And yeah.
They did not pay for them.
They didn't get the rings?
They didn't get the ring. They didn't pay for that. No, sir.
I did have to look to see how long of a drive that was for you, Nate. Was it about 6.5?
Yes, sir.
Wow.
Nice.
I went down that Saturday night, got there about 7 in the morning. I got there Saturday night, left Saturday night, got there 7 in the morning, got a little sleep, started at 3:45. They let me leave at halftime. I was back home by 3 o'clock. Sunday night, going into money.
Wow. Where'd you watch, Kurt?
Friend's house, a little Super Bowl party. It was a good time.
Yeah.
Ate a lot, had a few drinks.
Good. A few drinks, huh? A couple Miller Lights, pound you some Miller Lights.
Yeah, I wouldn't say I pounded them, but I had a couple. Yeah.
Chris, where'd you watch?
I went to my brother's house.
Had a couple
friends over.
Yeah.
How about you?
Very nice. I'm so lame, man. I went a little too hard Saturday night. And I was kid-free. I was like, we'll get to go party. And I wound up sitting on my couch doing work and watching the game.
Oh.
Yeah, so I was lame. But it was nice. It was enjoyable. Yeah. So I got some work done. Got to watch the game. What'd y'all think about the game?
Oh, I loved it.
Oh, so good.
I loved it. And it
had everything. Really good defense at the beginning.
Thank you.
This is going to be boring. Yeah. And then they figured everything. And guess what? Listen to this concept. They made halftime adjustments. Both teams. This isn't working. This is working. Wait a minute. When we did this, this happened. Let's do this. This. Oh, my goodness.
Hey, bro, I hear a lot of the so-called talking heads, that first half was.
I thought it was great. Mm-hmm. I thought it was great.
Did you?
Guys have been in this game for a long time and seen real slow-down football. It's happening in the NBA. They're trying to make it happen in baseball. The NFL is the last frontier, that kind of hold on to defense, trying with everything in there. And it was just so good to see a defensive game.
Mm-hmm.
It was just – and you saw their offense do, both offenses do well at times. You saw both defenses do well at times. And they said, and they made it come down to Brock.
Oh, yeah.
And Mahomes. Yeah.
And I tell you what.
You know what I'm saying? And it made it come down to the quarterbacks.
So I'm going to go out on a limb here.
Go out on that limb.
And I'm going to say Patrick Mahomes is the next Tom Brady already.
Yeah. I don't. No, bro.
I think
no,
he's going to be there.
Wrong.
I think he's
going to
be
wrong.
There. No, he's not there yet.
You got it wrong.
But he's going
no, you got
to,
it wrong.
He's going to be the
you
next
got
Tom
it wrong.
Brady. You have nuts.
You got it wrong.
You are nuts.
He
very
is not the next Tom Brady. He is the next sensation.
He's the next Patrick Mahomes.
See, when you're that great, you don't get to have another name. You are it. Yeah. You know what made me laugh is I was talking to one of our guys that produces our show. And you know what he said? What
did he say?
He said, "Nate, one thing I do know is that the 49ers head coach cannot hold up under pressure during the Super Bowl." I said, you know what you just said didn't make no sense. Because you know it's 30 other teams wishing that they could get to the Super Bowl to see if their coach can hold up under that pressure. Hey, listen to this, fellas. Everybody's trying to say what Coach Shanahan should have done. Mm. This is my theory. Patrick Ewing is upset. Karl Malone is upset. And the people are like, where are you going with this? What's the fat guy?
Barkley,
he's upset. Where are you going with this, Nate? I say, just like them, it was called Michael Jordan. Mm-hmm. For this Coach Shanahan, it's called Tom Brady, which is one of the greatest. And it's called Patrick Mahomes, which is one of the greatest now. When you face that type of talent, that type of entity, you're going to have some bad times, and you're going to lose some games. So, Coach Shanahan, whatever these other 30 teams and their fans are saying, man, get your team prepared. Try to find a way to heal those wounds and make another run at it.
Yeah. What can you do? We had this question in our mailbag yesterday. Like, the question was how the Cowboys compare, you know, obviously after the Super Bowl. And it's like San Francisco seemingly did everything right. I mean, they built a strong team around a young kind of, you know, not a
up
great
and good up and coming talent.
Yeah. Here the Cowboys, you know, they I think at this point we feel like they have to build a good team around Dak
and
Prescott.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Right. But again, at the end it comes down to the quarterback.
Yes, it does. And that for everybody that says Purdy's a bus driver, he's good, man. He did everything that he needed. That one play at the end where he had Ayuk that broke loose on the left, but he had two guys coming free at him from the right side. Yeah, that wasn't his fault,
good
right?
Good observation, bro.
But, I mean, he's good. Like, if you think he's just a bus driver, you're wrong.
No,
like,
he was also surrounded by amazing talent.
Yeah.
So.
This is what's funny. What has stymied strong-armed, strong-willed quarterbacks? What is stymieing them? That this is where Brock is exceptional. This is where Mahomes is exceptional. Now, we're talking about the top of the guy that can throw from any angle, arm strength, unreal. That's Mahomes. Mm-hmm. Brock Purdy, not great, you know, arm strength, can't throw from every angle. But one thing they have in common is the ability to walk to the offensive line and assess the coverages. Mm. And they have great anticipation. When you have that, you're in the game. It's like from the neck up, these two guys have it. Once again, though, the guy with the better arm talent, you know what I'm saying, a little more experience, won the game. Brock Purdy is where he needs to be. Now, can he come to Dallas or anywhere else where the talent is not overwhelming and win? We don't know, but I do know that he's intelligent enough to digest a coverage. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You don't see him throwing into double coverage. Zone don't bother him. Man don't bother him. He does what he has to do. But your talent, Kansas City talent bothered Brock Purdy, not the scheme. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a big difference.
I think Mahomes is the guy, and I think we probably all played some kind of sport with a guy that you look at him and you're like, yeah, I mean, he looks okay. He looks okay athletic. He's not ripped. He's not bowed up. But like I played with a guy that played softball, and he would throw behind his back. He would throw between his legs. Right. He would throw around. Like he would try to pick you off. He would do all this crazy stuff. And you're like, he just thought different. Like his body performed different.
And his body could do whatever his mind said.
Yes. And he was always like two or three steps ahead of everybody. But to do that in the National Football League and improvise the way that he does, he just sees the game different. The game, like half the routes Kelce runs is because, oh, wait, I'm going to run. Wait, last time I did this, this guy did this. Mm-hmm. So if I do this, and then Mahomes picks up on that and like it's – I think we're watching something unreal.
We see a lot of times, can the game slow down? The quarterback is normally the last guy for the game to slow down. There's so much going on. And so you see in the second and third years, guys really mature because the game is slowed down. They really can see what is happening. And this is what Brock Purdy saw in his first year. Now you see him into a Super Bowl. I've been teasing everybody. You know, I've been listening to everybody. Oh, man, I would have did this. They shouldn't have gave the ball up first. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And I said, well, who is your team? Well, I'm Detroit. I said, your coach made three obvious dumb mistakes. I said, you need to be kind of worried about – you need to be trying to X him up a little bit because this guy is in the Super Bowl. Well, he lost three Super Bowls. Hold on now. Everybody else – lose Super Bowls as head coaches, not as coordinators. I don't care how ugly it was. Dan Quinn had 60 minutes to say, hey, Shanahan, run the ball. Shanahan, we need for you to run the ball. And this offensive coordinator would have ran the ball. Atlanta is not his loss. You know, so I don't care how bad it looked, it wasn't his loss. He's lost two Super Bowls. And I promise you, we need to get in one to see if we lose it. Now, I'm saying that, you got 30 teams. It's nice. Only one team that's saying, hey, I don't care what calls you made. That's the Kansas City Chiefs. But now that 32nd team is the loser. And that was the 49ers. But you other 30 losers, shut up. You ain't got nothing to say.
Wouldn't it be nice to be in here talking about all the mistakes that the Cowboys made?
Mm-hmm. Just get there.
Let's go hang out on Radio Row for a week, 3 or 4 days.
Yeah. Look at him, man. We couldn't even get to the second. I mean, they couldn't even get to setting up the hotel. God. We was out so quick.
They got me. I held in there till about week 14 or 15 and said, you know what? This is a good team. I'm buying in. Mm-hmm. They're going to have home field advantage. Ah, they got me again.
Watching those,
I ain't letting them get me next year. I'm not letting them get me this year.
Watching them again, or are you just sitting there like, man, the Cowboys are so far behind? Or are you just like, well, they're doing a little bit here, a little bit there.
The Cowboys got a new defensive coordinator.
Let's talk about that guy when we come back.
Yeah.
You know what? I think they're close, but you got to change
mentality.
Yeah, that's the big one. And a few small things, but I mean, let's talk about that too, because I've had this conversation with a few people this week,
right,
about the talent level around here
that y'all keep putting up here,
right? Yeah. Are we getting pumped full of Kool-Aid? Yeah. Let's talk about that too.
No, steroid with a lot of sugar, steroid Kool-Aid.
All right, let's talk about all that when we come back on the next segment of Hanging with the Boys.
Fall is here, and that means football is back, bringing all the delicious game day foods with it. As you prep for all the big games, tailgates, and watch parties, let Yo Quiero be your one-stop destination for all things home gating. Yo Quiero's fresh, flavorful, ready-to-serve guacamole, made with real Hass avocados, will score taste bud touchdowns as you cheer on the Cowboys. Yo Quiero's wide range of mouth-watering and versatile products can be found in your local grocery store's produce or deli section. Grab some today.
Star Sports Tours is the only official fan travel partner of the Dallas Cowboys, offering exclusive game weekend travel packages with pregame sideline access and photo ops with current players, cheerleaders, and Cowboy legends. You want to stay at a team hotel, attend the best tailgate party in Texas, tour the Star, and talk X's and O's with me, Everson Walls? With Star Sports Tours, you can. Visit CowboysTravel.com to book your travel package today.
SeatGeek has your back no matter what kind of Cowboys fan you are. So whether you're a diehard fan or a don't-really-care fan, a we-got-them-next-time fan or we'll-never-win-again fan, a here-for-the-tailgate fan or a first-one-through-the-gates fan, SeatGeek not only makes buying and selling tickets easier than ever before, they made just about everything else easier, too. So whether you're a here-every-week fan or haven't been here in years fan, SeatGeek has you covered. Download the SeatGeek app today. SeatGeek, your ticket to great Dallas Cowboys seats.
How's Wingstop sound? Crispy, juicy, classic wings. Made to order, cooked to perfection. And sauced and tossed in those 11 soul-satisfying flavors. Paired with hand-cut seasoned fries, house-made honey mustard, blue cheese, or signature Wingstop ranch. And, of course, spicy Cajun fried corn. I think you've heard enough. Get your flavor delivered at Wingstop.com.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Back to Hanging with the Boys.
Welcome back to Hanging with the Boys, the People Show. The second segment brought to you each and every day by Blockchain.com. Thank you, Blockchain.com. I'm so glad we have the same sponsors on our show. Chris, if you have any say-so next year, keep us...
Blockchain.
Keep us like steady with the same, because that way I don't
hang with the boys.
You can thank Nikki for that.
Thank you, Nikki.
Yes, Nikki Harrison. Thank you.
Thank you.
Don't
give
your husband our shows. Thank you.
I'm gonna text her and be like, hey, keep this steady because I can't handle multitasking on this show. I don't need.
Especially when you just get. Especially when you tank yourself on Saturday nights.
You don't like change. All right, Nate. Let's talk. There was a little drama over the weekend with Rex Ryan saying he didn't believe that Coach Zimmer was.
Yeah, I don't know.
That was weird.
Trying to
on national TV. Like, yeah. I don't think that's true. That was a very weird thing. But seems like the latest news is they have officially agreed to terms. Is that correct?
Yes.
Hasn't signed yet, but officially agreed to terms.
It's all good. Yeah.
So sounds like it's good. So what are we getting with Coach Zimmer?
A discipline, a guy that's very disciplined,
mm-hmm.
a guy that he knows what his defense should look like as a 4-3 defense. He's had successful players dating back early to, as I can remember, Dion, and mm-hmm. probably a little bit before that. He's played with great players. He's coached not so great players. He's a stern individual. A lot of people worrying about can he adapt to the newer players. He's not. It's not where he's not been around players and kids and programs, and he know he can adjust to the new kid and the way they think. But
can these kids adjust to him?
They will because good coaches have one thing in common with kids that want to win is. If you present something to them, and they gonna try it, and if they have just a little success, they gonna go overboard with it. Zim is gonna put them in position to win. He's gonna put them in a position to do things on that field defensively. Now, can you evolve a little bit more? Most players, once they learn the basics of your 4-3 defense, what you expect on certain situations and downs, now their athletic ability can take over because they understand what you want. They know where they're supposed to be. Now they let their athletic ability take over. A lot of times when you're trying to scheme like Coach Quinn was trying to do, he knew that always lurking in the back of their mind is that run game. But we were so dominant in the pass game, too, we did a lot of run stunts, a lot of run blitzes, a lot of everything. A lot of pass stunts, a lot of pass blitzes. And even though these things connect, you know, you still have to have a certain responsibility. You, when you start moving players and playing games and stunts, you have a tendency to make mistakes and leave gaping holes, have opportunity for gaping holes when you don't play this thing correctly. And that's what happened to Coach Quinn. That won't happen so much with –
I don't think so.
Nah, Coach Zim is not – I mean, you may see a lot of blow-ups on the sideline because he is going to ask you to be where you need to be so this team can be successful. If you watch the Super Bowl, yeah, you could see, like I say, the fantasy football people, they were hurt. They were mad this week because defense showed up, mm-hmm. and it kept showing up. And Coach Spagnuolo and the other guy for the 49ers, they did a great job of maintaining the tight ends for both teams, making sure the receivers didn't break loose consistently. The only thing that you saw and you kind of questioned was, why did the 49ers not keep running with their kid, mm-hmm. you know, McCaffrey? Why didn't they, you know, that? But, hey, you know, maybe Coach saw something. I don't know what Coach saw, but I just believe that Coach Zim, he knows how to talk to kids. He knows how to handle kids. But are our kids too far gone in their self-righteousness to not listen?
That's what I was kind of wondering, because McCarthy seems like kind of a player's coach in a way. He's not yes. a hard ass. And then Garrett, obviously, well, I mean, he didn't seem like he ran that at all. So how's that going to work when you've got this long history of that kind of style? You still have McCarthy here kind of running things, but now you have an assistant who's supposed to bring that hard nose. Is that all going to gel together?
It's going to gel. It's going to gel. I always believe winning and preparation to win can overcome a lot of things. I've said it before and I say it again. Y'all, it ain't about the coaches. It's the missing good coaches through here. It's about the mentality of our players. And I'll keep saying it and I'll keep saying it because – the only thing, just two things changed with Kansas City real drastically 4 or 5 years ago. Only two things changed drastically. That was the mentality of their players and the quarterback. Other than that, they were basically the same team. I'm talking about 4 or 5 years ago.
And if you think about it, they got rid of one of, if not the best player in football.
Yes, and Terry Hill.
And still doing what they're
doing. Mm-hmm. This... because the coach said in his post-presser, hey, fellas, I had to change my team. I had to literally give it to the defense, take away a whole lot of my plays, and simplify it so that my guys could get it. And we had to go more to the run as the season went on so my guys can play. So you saw Andy Reid has rebuilt himself and his team 4 or 5 times. Over a 6-year period. He has rebuilt this thing, and it has looked horrible. It looked horrible during the season, but he just kept plugging along. And that is what you say, a buy-in. His players bought in.
Yeah.
They didn't have they missed a starting offensive line, and they got a guy hurt during the game. But Andy Reid got over there with his offensive line coach. They pulled old Eric Bieniemy back in there as a consultant, and they doing their thing.
Yeah.
See, I'm going to tell you, fellas, I like to joke. I like to play, and I like to have fun. But if your players is going to change what happens to your coach.
Yeah.
If you don't believe me, why is Belichick out of the league? Yeah. If you don't believe me, why is the Tennessee Titans coach, Brabel, why is he not in the league? These are coaches that we're considered top level, top 10 coaches. Why are they not in the league? Because somehow, somewhere, they lost contact with their players, or they didn't replenish the tank with better players or equal players. And all because of that one mighty thing called a quarterback. So... we better either get a better quarterback or get better players around the quarterback and have a coach that can demand. I mean, if you're watching the Kansas City game, you see Kelce run up to him and almost knock Coach over. You know, he almost knocked Coach over wanting that ball. Coach, boom. Coach looked at him and said, hey, man, we're going to get you the ball. Now go on over there and cry to your tight ends, Coach. I mean, it didn't even faze Andy Reid.
No.
And see, the media wanted.
And the way he handled it was perfect.
Yeah, the media wanted that to be something bad.
Yeah.
But here in Dallas, that could have been something bad. But up there in Kansas City.
Here in Dallas, I want to see that. I want to see a guy run up to Coach McCarthy and be like, throw me the ball.
Yeah.
I ain't coming out the game. You see what happens when I come out?
Right.
He fumbled the ball.
Yeah.
Leave me in. Like, we see guys go over to the sideline, put their helmet down, sit down, drop their head, look up at the big board. Like, give me some of that.
The thing that makes you laugh is you cannot take away their tight end. You cannot take away Rice. You cannot take away their running back. And that is not because they're so schemed in. It's because when they do throw to the other guys, or they do give,
they switch it up.
They
adjust.
They're successful.
They adjust.
I love it, man. When I was watching the Super Bowl, I was just laughing. So when I left at halftime, these people were gracious enough to let me leave at halftime. I said, let me say something on the mic. And Wrath of Usher put on that hell of a show.
Oh, we got to talk about that.
Yeah. And so I said, y'all know I'm with the NFC. I play at the NFC, and that's who I ride with. I say, but y'all, we got two problems here. I say, we up by 10, but we got two problems. What's the problem, Big Newton? What's the problem? I said, Andy Reid and Mahomes, you ain't seen them yet.
That's the two problems.
That's the two problems, bro. Yeah. And I'm riding back.
That was right.
About 10:30, back-to-back Super Bowl. I just started laughing. I'm like, wow, they got us.
All right, so question. We're talking about talent, right?
Yes.
We got the talent, right?
You have good talent.
That's what.
Talent,
so we've been told, and you know, through the national media, and you know, wherever we've heard it,
right.
Whether it's in, you know, around here, whether it's the national media, whether it's local media, you got the talent. You got all these guys. You got, you know, you got this guy and this guy, and you got four studs on offense, and you've got three or four studs on defense, and some teams that make it and win playoff games, they're lucky if they've got one or two studs on. Do we really have studs, or have we just bought into the star mentality where we think these guys are that good?
Look up number 91 for the 49ers. Number 91.
91, all right.
I mean, I I'm questioning everything. I'm questioning reality. This
week. You talking about what is?
What is the perception, and what really is happening? Like, are we
Eric Armstead?
You number 91.
Mm-hmm.
Look up. What is the guy number 95? The inside tackle for
Drake Jackson.
No. I'm talking about for Kansas City.
Oh yeah,
the guy that
plays next to Chris Jones.
Our guy calls in and say he don't play but two times a year.
Yeah, Chris Jones.
Let me tell y'all something. That's where it all started. And that's where it all ended.
When they got him signed.
When he came back in. I keep trying to tell people, them two guys playing on the inside the way they were playing, bringing the pressure they were bringing, making the plays that they were making. When the Cowboys get a dog in the middle of their defense, be it a linebacker or be it a defensive inside guy, Jonathan Hankins is a good guy, but he can't take over a game. Chris Jones can take over a game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And when you can do that right there, you can't stop the rush from the outside. There's no pocket when you can collapse it. There's no run game when you can stop it. Now, the Warners of the world, Greenlow, that hurt them when that kid, the other linebacker for the 49ers got hurt.
Yeah. Greenlow.
Yeah, that hurt them, man.
Yeah.
That dude jogging out on the field and somebody sniped him. A Kansas City Chief fan sniped him with something. I'm looking at this, and we're listening to the draft show, and before you know it, the draft show going to come up with some skill position player that we should get.
But you have an opinion on the draft. Let's switch to the draft show mentality. What is your theory? What do they need to do going into this draft?
Get your offensive lineman. Get you a defensive lineman or a thumping linebacker. I'm talking about a linebacker that will hit you and you will stop. And then get you a corner.
In what order? Does it matter?
It don't matter. But they have to be starters, and they have to be who they are.
So you're okay with them not taking – you've been on the soapbox for the big, nasty guy in the middle for years.
See
– you're okay not doing that and taking an offensive lineman in the first round?
Yes, sir. This is the thing that Andy Reid, the Sean Paytons, the Dan Campbells, even though he made three dumb moves not to make it to the Super Bowl, they understand this. When you have offensive linemen, that is rare. It's like you don't see white rhinos anymore. Mm-hmm. They are rare. You don't see good offensive linemen. They are rare. So you get that offensive lineman where you can get him. You get that that inside guy where you can get him, and you get that thumping linebacker. You don't need a million thumping linebackers. You just need one to set the tone. We got Donovan Wilson, so we keep Donovan Wilson, and we get us a thumping linebacker. So now on every level, we got a thumper.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I don't care where you get them. Free agency, I don't care how you get them, but you get them, and you pray they don't get hurt, and you do your thing. The quarterback is who he is and what he is. The only time you're going to panic with him is when playoff comes. That, calm down, take something, a downer or whatever. Go into your old mix when you used to be a young man dealing with foreigner. This, you know, the stuff you used to take. Oh, no, let me quit playing for somebody to say, oh, man. But you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We don't need a whole it's three things we need. There's four things we need in this order. A different mindset.
Mm-hmm.
Offensive, defensive lineman, or linebacker. That's a thumper. And then, man, you can get the corner safeties. You can get whatever. We are set. But we got to change our mindset.
So you think we have the talent?
We have talented players.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't have... Everybody's locked in at the right time and in the right place.
So the talent's here. That's
pretty good. The talent is pretty good.
That's what I was questioning.
Skill position talent.
If you just think, if you get somebody like a Chris Jones, or you get somebody like the Armstead kid, and they're in the middle, man in the middle, the way they're doing, don't you know how much better Parsons would be?
I haven't seen it.
You know what I'm just saying? But you know how much better Parsons would be? Yeah. Chris Jones can not only fight off a double team, but he can run 20 yards and hit your guy from the side. Or he can fight off a double team and hit your guy in the backfield for a loss. And he can do this consecutively. He can rush the passer, get up in his face, tip a ball, get an interception. I mean, make it an interception. Next play, sack your quarterback. We don't have that guy that can come from the middle that can repeatedly make play after play after play.
Well, there's only about, what, four or five teams that do have that guy?
Yeah, but, you know, it's more teams that have that guy, but we only know about these guys because they're in our conference and they're high-profile guys. Mm-hmm. There are guys out there that can do these things. That's on other teams. We just don't get to see it a lot because we are so concentrated on how great our talent is here. Our talent is good, but it's not been galvanized. These guys, you not hear a lot about Armstead, but I promise you, the 49er fans know him. You know, the 49er fans probably like, man, we can't let this guy go. You know, he made Randy Gregory look good. He made Mr. Young look good. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was bringing that heat, man. And number 54, that linebacker, Warner or whatever.
Fred Warner.
He's
special.
He
might be the best player on their team.
Man, he be coming downhill. Him and that other kid, Greenlaw, that got hurt. I hope I'm pronouncing his name. Man.
Dre Greenlaw, yep.
Yes, sir.
All right, let's take our last break. When we come back, some former players had a lot to say on Super Bowl row this week. We want to get your opinion as a former player. We know where you stand. We know, but we want to know how the frustration level maybe gets to this. And then CD had something interesting to say. I want to know if you like what he said or if you don't like what he said. And we'll see what else we have time for. Oh, and then Chris has the early Super Bowl odds for next season. We'll see where the Cowboys rank on that list. How high up or far down all day.
By the time the season starts, we'll be in the top three.
When we come back on Hanging with the Boys.
It gets more clicks. I don't care. It gets more clicks.
I'm Dak Prescott, quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys.
And they snap it to Prescott, who looks right. It's not there. He escapes left. He'll run for a first down.
Just like football, when it comes to crypto, it's important to have a team you can trust. With Blockchain.com, I know I'm in good hands. Since 2011, they've been trusted by millions around the world to buy, sell, and trade cryptocurrency.
Prescott's going to run this himself. Run it up the middle, and he scores.
Whether you're new to crypto or an active trader, they've got you covered. What are you waiting for? Get started at blockchain.com.
How's Wingstop sound? Crispy, juicy, classic wings. Made to order, cooked to perfection, and sauced and tossed in those 11 soul-satisfying flavors. Paired with hand-cut seasoned fries, house-made honey mustard, blue cheese, or signature Wingstop ranch. And, of course, spicy Cajun fried corn. I think you've heard enough. Get your flavor delivered at Wingstop.com.
SeatGeek has your back, no matter what kind of Cowboys fan you are. So whether you're a diehard fan or a don't-really-care fan, a we-got-them-next-time fan or we'll-never-win-again fan, a here-for-the-tailgate fan or a first-one-through-the-gates fan, SeatGeek not only makes buying and selling tickets easier than ever before, they made just about everything else easier, too. So whether you're a here-every-week fan or haven't been here in years fan, SeatGeek has you covered. Download the SeatGeek app today. SeatGeek, your ticket to great Dallas Cowboys seats.
James Wright here, your 2022 Dallas Cowboys fan of the year. You know how much I love my Cowboys, and I am thrilled to be talking to you about the 2023 Fan of the Year Award presented by Captain Morgan. We're looking for the ultimate Cowboys fan to spice up the game. That means you eat, sleep, and breathe the Dallas Cowboys. If that's you, or if you know someone like me, then go to DallasCowboys.com/Fan of the Year and you could win tickets to Super Bowl 58 and so much more. Enter today.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Back to Hanging with the Boys.
All right, we're back for our third and final segment of Hanging with the Boys, brought to you each and every day by Jigsaw, the official dating partner of the Dallas Cowboys. And Chris, we had a show after us today?
Yes.
Oh, man. Okay.
Jigsaw, Valentine's Day, you got a hot date tonight?
Yeah.
No.
Me? Yeah, with a 3.5-year-old that's sick.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That should be fun.
Good times, yeah. He projectiled all over his mom this morning.
No.
I got a call. Got a call in hysterics. Yeah, so it's fun. It's good stuff.
Yeah.
Take a shower. It'll be okay.
A lot to cover in a few minutes. Chris, you want to give us the early Super Bowl odds?
Yeah. You want to take a guess who number one is?
Kansas City.
Actually, it's the 49ers.
What?
Oh, really?
Yep.
That's surprising.
Then Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll go Baltimore, Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
Number five is Detroit.
Mm.
Cincinnati is number six.
Mm-hmm.
Burrow was hurt last year, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Miami. And tied for eighth is Philly, Green Bay, and your Dallas Cowboys.
Wow.
Philly, Green Bay, and Cowboys.
It's about right after this year. I mean, that's where I'd put them.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense.
Yeah. Hmm. Go show me. Do something. Suck me in again about week 15.
It's going to be hard.
I'm fighting it this year. I'm not going to let them suck me in. No. Win a playoff game, and then I'm in. Get me past the first round.
I got big concerns about next year.
I'll be in Mexico, and then I'll jump back on the bandwagon when I'm in Mexico. Speaking of, one of your former teammates had a lot to say. Emmett Smith said, I'm done. I've never been at this place I am right now. He's done. Michael Irvin was very boisterous about when the Cowboys, you know, lost and everything. What's the frustration level, and why now? Why are the alumni so upset?
Because you were one position away from perfect. The 49ers were perfect. The off week, the two games, Super Bowl. Cowboys, home.
Because it was set up?
It was set up so perfect. Everything the player said. And see, this is what I tell people. Listen, we love Coach McCarthy. Da-da-da. The way he saved our legs. The way we were ready. Oh, from upper management all the way to the players. And then you start hearing all of this stuff after the season, all of these players griping and family members, all disgruntled. I mean, I understand about X and Facebook and TikTok and all of that, but no one has put the team first. And so that is what Emin and Mike and other people are saying. They're like, these guys do not love one another, or at some points even respect one another. And so that is what, and it falls into Coach McCarthy's lap. It don't fall into the player's lap, because you can't fire $150 million worth of players. Yeah. You know, so it falls onto the coach.
All right.
I don't know how you fix that.
I don't either.
The way you fix that is you got to let players know, say, this is not happening. If you have to get in the locker room and throw blows, you better do that, because just taking this thing to the media like this, and your moms and your dads and your brothers and sisters and all this, they're not in this locker room. No matter how much you love them, they're not a part of what we're doing. And so when you take this home and gripe this home, and now all of a sudden your wife got 500 clicks and your mom got 7,000 clicks, you know, because, you know, let's go listen to this mom and this dad or this friend or this guy, you know, that how am I supposed to look at you, man? You sit up here on this show every day, I love Big No, da, da, da. Then all of a sudden, Miss Pat said, boy, Big Man Shannon said this about Nate. I'm sitting up with this dude every day. Why didn't he say I did something wrong?
Right.
You know, that's bad, man. That's bad. I mean, and so now you got a disgruntled team, and this goes on in every locker room. It's not just the Cowboys. It's every locker room. Mm-hmm. But every locker room don't let it out, not to the point we do, because if we do this, it's going to go national, at least going to go regional. And it is what it is. When the season start up new, everybody, wounds will be healed. It'll be a new season. Everybody will be pumped. Everybody, because I thought we had it bad. But you got to say, I looked at what that wide receiver with Philadelphia trying to do. Wow. You know, against his quarterback. So I guess it's just a new era. You know, voice your opinion through the world, you know?
The new NFL.
Yeah.
I guess.
What do you think about, I wanted to get your thoughts on this. CD went on Micah's podcast. He was hungry too. He was eating. Did you see him? He was just eating through the whole podcast. I only had some. Anyway, I think Micah did his Bleacher Report podcast.
Yeah, he was Super out Bowl. There for. You
know. And Micah was on it, and they had, you know, he asked CD what he needed to do to be better, and he basically said, "I need to grow up. I need to grow up and be a better leader." Do you like that accountability? Do you like him saying CD, that, or do you, you know?
Y'all have been with me from the beginning. When we drafted CD, I was riding with this kid. When he was going through the down times, I was riding with this kid. And I've heard people say, you know, his maturity. This kid is well aware of who he is and what he needs to do. And every year it gets better for him. Mm-hmm. Every year. And I'm going to continue to ride with CD. I don't get on and off trains. You know, the Cowboys is my team. I don't get on and off trains. But we need for not only CD to mature, we need for Micah to mature. We need for a Osa to mature. And I'm not saying these are not great gentlemen, but what I'm saying is we need for you to mature to the point where you show up in the biggest of games. Mm-hmm. You know, we need for you to show up during this season in the big time games and make more plays. Osa has to make more plays. Micah has to be a better run defender, become that ultimate player so you cannot be stopped. CD, all he has to do is change his body language.
Mm-hmm.
Shame, because you can get hyped. I mean, and that's what I love. You saw Kelsey went over there and bump a 280-pound man, you know, saying, "Coach, hey, this, I need the ball, everybody, and I ain't coming out."
Everybody
and the
gets
world
frustrated.
Saw. Yeah, so yeah.
Everybody.
Yes,
I'm not sure many other players can get away with that.
They can't. But the thing about Andy Reid, the first thing you would say, he an old school guy. You don't touch an old school guy. No. These coaches know the fire that's in each
and
player.
And they want the fire.
Yeah, they know the fire. So if you bump him and he know who you are, yeah, some old dude who ain't never played, ain't never, you know, like it's back a couple up. Of wide receivers, they knew to stay away from coach.
Yeah.
Because you come over there talking about you open. We done threw you the ball the whole season. You help us lead the league in drops. If you don't get out my face, you know what I'm saying?
Right, and he even said, if you listen to the pregame, they even asked him about
the postgame.
No, pregame, they talked to Andy Reid. They had done an interview the week leading up, and he even said, yeah, he gets a little emotional and he gets a little heated, and sometimes we have to, you know, talk him down or whatever.
Yeah.
And I'll be damned if in the middle of the game he belly bumps him. And,
yeah.
You know, and the way Coach Reid handled it, I thought was perfect. Like, he caught me off balance. And it didn't make a big deal out of it. Now, if they'd have lost that game, that would have been all you heard about.
Coach Andy Reid would have still handled it that way.
Yeah.
One thing I loved about Coach Johnson is me and Charles, I've told the story 1,000 times. Me and Charles coming off the field. Thank God I was coming with Charles and it just wasn't me. And he focused in on Charles and they went at it. You know, he said what he had to say and Charles took it. I was shocked because knowing when you hit Charles off from the side, he'd come back at you. But Charles took it. Jimmy went at him. And then when Jimmy went into his little coach's room, Charles went right in there behind him. You heard all this hollering. When they came out, both of them were smiling.
Had to get it out.
And that's what I try to tell people. When you are a winner, when a coach look at you and see team, he can put up with a lot more.
Yeah.
But when he look at you and see selfishness, you know, I listen to a couple of radio stations around here coming in, and people like trading Micah. That could be an option, this, that, and other. And I'm saying in my mind, okay, this is the year where Micah should show the world. You know, don't talk about it. I know you got a podcast, so you do what you want to do. But don't talk about how great you can be. Show us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
See, you attacking the refs, and I waited till the end of the season to say this. What changed? Nothing.
Mm-hmm. No.
So stop. You got a podcast, so you have to have content. So I'm not saying don't go on your podcast, but be a little more tactful, but be the player that we know you can be first.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, good stuff, fellas. Man, wish we had like 3 more hours.
Yeah, we needed old Jess, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Miss old Jesse.
By the way,
we heard from Jess during the show. He's good.
Yeah, he good, yeah. He's good.
He forgot to let us know he was going to be out today. So Trailer Park's got him. So
they went to the Super Bowl in disgust because the Moonbox boys got beat, so he had to go take a big heavy box of chicken to a few girls.
We didn't even talk about Usher. We ran out of time. What'd you think?
I loved it.
I did too.
He put this thing together, man. I loved Usher.
When it first started and he was on the field, I was like, there's too much space.
Right.
He needs to be on a stage.
Right.
And when he got on stage, I was like, and I thought it was perfect, man. And
he put it together.
And I said leading up to the week was he better come out at some point on roller skates. And he did. And I was good.
I tell you what, man, he got up on his toes, bro. I'm like, and then I had a few young ladies, you know, my wife and he all right. He ain't nobody Michael Jackson. Ain't nobody Prince.
No.
Ain't nobody even Elvis.
No.
Because they who's the next Elvis? Ain't no next Elvis. Right. Who's the next Mike? Ain't no next Tom Brady. It's right, not. Right. It's just not.
I agree.
You either who you are or you're not.
You know, and then he took his shirt off and he checked two of the three boxes for me. He ain't that big. But he was sweaty. No, I thought it was. Yeah. What'd you think, Kurt? I know you're a rocker. What'd you think?
Yeah, well.
Post Malone was this boy.
No.
That was pretty good, too.
I had never seen this guy before.
And I like how he put his own spin on it.
And
when I
saw him, it was good.
I didn't know all the tags.
Oh, you never visually seen him?
I'd never seen him.
Oh, Lord.
And when I saw him, I'm like, well, to sing the America the Beautiful, Post Malone, I'm thinking this is a young little white cat going to come out here, you know, with his fuzzy hair.
Oh, okay.
He tatted up. He grilled up and sung a hell of a.
He did.
Yeah, he sung, man.
In his own way.
Yeah. I'm like, this dude is, you know what? Can't judge a book by its cover, not always, because that dude can sing.
Yeah. So what'd you think
of Usher? I did like Usher, yeah. I mean, we were, again, I was at a party, so I was hitting the food table and all that kind of stuff. But what I saw, I mean, it was
the good part was
having all those people come in.
Yeah, you didn't even have to hear it. You could just watch it and be like, okay.
And then, I had them folks going because we had young folks and older people.
Did you sing on the mic?
Oh, man, I was just hollering and going on. And I was like, you know what? I got the mic. I said, you know what, y'all? They want to call old men dirty. I said, I don't see so many older women in here looking at Usher. Y'all got a bad mic, too.
I was just happy he said, we found out where he was at 7 o'clock on the dot.
Yeah.
He was in the drop top still.
That's right.
I just needed to hear that.
Yes, sir. They did it, man.
All around an enjoyable Super Bowl.
What you think, Chris? What you think?
Yeah.
We didn't ask Chris what he thought.
Yeah, Chris.
Man, it was great. I loved it.
What was the consensus at the party you were at?
Oh, they loved it. That was it. Was awesome.
They loved it all.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Yeah, man.
Well, Chris, thanks for keeping us on the air, man. Good seeing you, Nate. Good show.
All right, Kurt, Jess, wherever you are, baby. Thanks
Jesse,
for the water.
We missed you, man. Jazz, thanks for keeping Chris company. What's my man's name?
Josh.
Thanks for keeping us up on the social channels. We'll be back next week. Are we weekly from now until camp?
Wednesday at 10.
Till June. Every till Wednesday June. Till then June. Tune in. We'll be back next week. Same time, same place on Hanging with the Boys.
We out.
Yeah.
This has been a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this, Cowboys?